Happy New Year. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Jehovah is your name. And we have come because we know who you are, O Lord. You have revealed yourself to us in these days, O Lord. And we have come because we know that you are here to welcome us, O Lord. We thank you for this morning. We thank you for granting us another privilege to stand, to fellowship with one another, O Lord. This is a day that, humanly speaking, we could be resting and after a busy week, O Lord, but your spirit in us, your love in us has pulled us, O Lord, has triggered something in us to come and meet with you and meet with one another, O Lord. We know there's always a benefit being standing in the presence of a living God, because in you is life, O Lord. In us, there's so many needs, there's so many requests, O Lord. But when we bring them at your feet, we know, Heavenly Father, that you are an answering God, O Lord. Yeah. You will know, Heavenly Father, that at the end of our meeting, O Lord, we'll go refreshed, O Lord. We will go fulfilled, Heavenly Father, knowing that your children, needy people that we are, O Lord, the burden of sin, O Heavenly Father, the burden of so many worldly desires, O Lord, in us, O Lord, we commit it into your hand, asking you, O Lord, to wash and clean us, O Lord. Take us as we are, O Lord, and make us to look exactly what you want us to be. We know that, Heavenly Father, you have started this job in us, O Lord, and someday, without any effort from our side, we'll see exactly what you want us to become, O Lord. We'll see the manifestation of a living God in our lives, O Lord. Bless us. Bless every sincere heart, O Lord. O Heavenly Father, grant us according to our needs, O Lord. Those who seek healing, grant them healing. Those who are looking for jobs, grant them jobs, O Lord. Those who are looking for children, grant them children. Those who are looking for houses, O Lord, grant it for your glory, O Lord. Heavenly Father, bless our fellowship. Let it be a day that we'll remember, O Lord, that Sunday when we went to church, God really met us and something happened in our lives, O Lord. We thank you. Take control now in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you once again. We're going to open our Bibles in Jude, verse 3. Last year we started something that we didn't have an opportunity to finish. So Jude chapter 3. Sorry, Jude verse 3. It's only one chapter. It's verse 3 and verse 4. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. As I was saying, last year we started this study, but we didn't have the time, the opportunity to finish it. So we are going to, by His grace, say something, some more things on it, and hopefully one of these days we are going to finish it. Jude here is exhorting the people he's writing to earnestly contend for the faith. Why? There's a reason in verse 4 that there were people that came and started teaching things that were not according to what they had received. And because of that, Jude was exhorting these believers, these saints, that you should earnestly contend. And he's using some specific words. He doesn't say you should, you know, he say earnestly contend. So it means you have to stand firm on what you have received, on the faith that you, it means that as a believer, at some point, you'll be called to stand earnestly contend for what you have received. Amen. Because faith here, in this context, we know we all have faith. You know, we came here because you have faith. You got baptized, you do everything you do because you have faith. But faith in this context is not only what you have believed into, but faith in this context is the gospel itself. Amen. In the context here, earnestly contend for the faith that was transmitted once for all to the saints. It means the whole gospel you have received, that people will come and try to, you know, shake you away from your faith, from the gospel that you have received. But you have to be ready to make a stand, to earnestly contend for the gospel. Are we together? So it means there's times that will come when your faith will be challenged. And when those times arrive, you should be prepared to contend for your faith. Amen. That's why as believers, especially as parents, we have to be prepared for these things. Because the children that we are raising, one day they'll come up with hard questions. Because people, the only channel through which your child received the gospel is you. You are the evangelist or whoever that taught that child the way of the Lord. So whenever questions start to arise in their mind, they'll come up to you. Daddy, you told me that the Bible says this, 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 and that. But I've been asked, we have been taught that this, this, this. Will you be able to help that child? Because you took him from childhood, you hold their hand, you show them the way of the Lord. They came to the baptism of water. They took a stand for the gospel. And these are things they take for life and death. But when challenges come now, someone starts challenging their faith. I told you one day, Olivier came up with a question. That's where I got this inspiration, you know, from. Someone, one of his friends was asking him, why do you believe in God? It was a simple question. Three words. I don't know, four words. But it troubled him. And he came home and said, Daddy, I got the question that I couldn't answer. My friend was telling me he believes in science because science can be demonstrated. Science can be proved. But he was asking me, why do I believe in God? And I didn't know how to answer him. And your child will come one day with such questions. There are many, not only that, but he'll come maybe after learning about evolution, about this and that in the world, they'll come and start challenging you. You need to be able to contend for the faith. You need to be able to teach your child to contend for the faith that you have transmitted him. Because remember, if we ask everyone here, what is faith? Say, faith is a substance of things you believe and that for you.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. That's for you.
Right.
But there's a point where you need to start to defend that faith that is in you.
Uh-huh.
There's a point where someone will come and challenge you. Say, Jesus didn't raise from the dead. Because your faith is based on the death, on the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus didn't even exist. You should be able, because you believe it, it's a substance for you. And nobody can question you on that. You believe it strongly that Jesus died at the cross. But someone comes, and it may be someone with a sincere doubt. Someone who wants to learn. Because every, you know, challenge is not someone who wants to doubt, for the sake of doubting. It may be someone with a sincere doubt. I'm asking you, did really Jesus exist? Did really Jesus die on the cross? These are strong questions that you should be able one day to answer.
Yes.
That's why Jude is asking, you should earnestly contend for the faith.
Amen.
Because when your child is there, sitting there, and someone comes and challenges you, and you are not able to answer these simple questions, you know what esteem you lose in your child. Because he regards you as, you know, the reference. When he has strong questions, he'll come over to you. When not only your child, that person you evangelized, they are your disciple. They are coming, you know, we had a brother here, we came from a Muslim family. They may have questions there with their parents. You have believed in Jesus, but listen, look at this and that. Will you be able to stand and contend for the faith? Amen. Jude is asking us to earnestly contend for the faith. That's what we are called for. Because if you don't take these things seriously, one day you may lose your child. Amen. He can go there at college and one lecture will destroy the job you did for 25 years. Family camps, youth meetings, night watch, everything. One single lecture.
Yep.
You go there, tell them, listen. Yuri Gagarin went there in the sky, he didn't see God. You say God is in heaven. But we sent astronauts there, they didn't see even one speck of a throne. Where is your God? You know, so this type of things, I don't mean there's no answers. There's answers here. Amen.
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 Sorry.
Answers are here. Amen. But as believers, we are not, you know, we don't, the way we practice our faith, we don't prepare for this, what Jude had ordained us here, to earnestly contend, to be able to face the challenge. To be able to contend for the faith. We believe, that's fine. And most of the time when hard questions come, they say, oh, you know, this is an unbeliever, you know, this people. He has a demon, you know. I can't believe him. He's an unbeliever. That man is possessed by the devil. No, he may not be possessed by the devil. He may be looking for salvation. He may really be looking for salvation. But because of his background, because he has studied philosophy, he has studied theology, he has studied anatomy and all this, it's a hindrance for him to believe the Bible. So you should be able to reconcile what they have learned in anatomy, biology, and the Bible, and be able to stand for the Bible. Amen. That's why the apostle was very, very insisting that you should be able to do that. So, where's the... Okay. I just went and did some research to see what exactly was meaning here. Beloved, I gave all diligence to write unto you to the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. So what does it mean by earnestly contend? This word in Greek is this word. The Greek word that is translated by earnestly contend is, I don't know if I'll be able to pronounce it, epagonizomai. Wow. Epagonizomai. And what does it mean? It means to contend about something as a combatant. No, you know, it was not something just to be passive combating. No, it means you have to combat, you have to stand as a soldier, as someone who is, you know, fighting a fight. And it was used, was applied to the skilled wrestler. So you see what word Jude used. He was comparing it to those people that practice WWE. You see the way they contend on the ring. You know, you know WWE, what it means here, yeah? Yeah, yeah, John Cena and those guys, you know. Yes. You see the way they fight. This is the word that the apostle used, Jude used. Earnestly contend. It means you must be ready to fight. Yes. His object was both defensive and offensive. To avoid being thrown and attempting to succeed in throwing his opponent. You see what he meant here? It's a militant posture. You have to be ready. When it comes to the gospel, you have to be ready to stand as a wrestler, to fight, ready to throw your opponent down, and ready to resist him throwing you down. When it comes to standing for the gospel, you must have arguments. Amen. Amen. You must have, you know, really, you must be able to make your point and defeat the opponent. That's what this word, this verse meant. Earnestly contend for the faith. Be ready to fight. Be ready to rest. Amen. 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 Because time will come. I remember one day I was in the streets there in Carlo. Some guy, I think it must be from the eastern countries there. He came and started attacking me. He's a Muslim. You know, when you go on those grounds, you need to be prepared.
Yes,
you know yourself, yeah. You need to be prepared because any type of people will come. He was a Muslim and he started really attacking me that I'm propagating false doctrine and false teachings and that Jesus didn't die at the cross. That because there's a theory that the Muslim have developed, you know. That the man who died, there was really a crucifixion. But the man who was at the cross was not Jesus.
That is right, brother. That's what they say,
Yes, that's what they said. The man who was at the cross was not Jesus. There was a replacement that was made in between the scourging and the crucifixion. Something happened there, and the other guy was carrying the cross. God made a miracle. His face was changed to Jesus' faces, and that was the guy that was killed. You know? So when someone comes, because this is the foundation of our faith.
Yes.
If Jesus didn't die at the cross, then Paul said our confession is vain. We shouldn't even be sitting here if Jesus didn't die and raise from the dead. So if someone starts now challenging the foundation of your faith, you should be able to tell him that what you are saying is wrong. What I believe is right. And you should be able to earnestly contend for the faith. My brother, even if I need to give punches, I'll give punches. Forgive me for that. Amen. If you start playing on those grounds of the foundation of my faith, we'll go gently if you go gentle. But I remember once I had a friend at work, a colleague who was a Muslim. You know, he was giving me a very hard time. That time I was not prepared yet. Because they know what we believe.
Yes.
They know what we believe. We don't know what they believe. That's our weakness. Because they will attack us based on the Bible. They'll come with biblical verses that they distort. If you don't know how to defend your faith, they will unbalance you. That's why sometimes we fight with my wife at home. I have a Quran. She wanted to throw it away. I said, why are you keeping this here? I said, no, leave it, please. One day, she found where I put my books, the Quran and the Bible and the Message were together. She removed it. She said, no. I said, yeah, you are right. I said, okay, you are right, but don't throw it, please. Because they know what we believe. And they will come and say, you know, verses like, the Father is greater than me. These are the things that they're going to use. That man was coming time and time. You say this and you say that. And that time I was not prepared. It was really disturbing me. I took some time. I bought some books, the Muslim books. I seriously started reading the Quran and understand exactly what does these people believe. Because I don't want the fight to be on my grounds. When you are fighting the enemy, we have learned in the military, do your best to fight on the enemy's territory.
Yes.
Amen. Fight on their territory. Because if you fight in your territory, in your land, you're gonna, even if you are taking the upper hand, but you're gonna lose your people. You're gonna, you know, all the everything will be happening on your side. Do your best to fight on their land. So I say, okay, I'm most of the time in the defensive. I'll try my best to take the offensive now. One day it just came. You know, these people, they are very, very, they are not as strong as they think. If you know how to fight them, they'll run away.
Yes.
One day he came and just started saying these things and said, I said, my friend, I just wanted to strike him very, very badly, to offend him. I really wanted to offend him.
Amen.
I said, your prophet was a pedophile. He said, what? I said, do you know who is Aisha? I said, Aisha, who is Aisha? I know, you know, don't pretend, you know. She was 6 years old when your prophet married her. I said, what do you see? I said, yeah, you have a pedophile prophet. He was very, I know if I was in their country, they would have burnt me.
Yeah.
If I was in Pakistan or Iran or Iraq, they would burn me.
Yes.
But I said, this is the truth. I have proof, historical evidence that your prophet was a pedophile. He married a 6 years old girl. And, oh no, but he didn't consume the marriage. And I said, yes. Until she was 9. I said, he thought I didn't know that. I said, yes, he married her at 6, but he didn't, you know, take her as a wife until she was 9. She's still a girl. She's still a minor. Oh, you see, I said, yeah. Next time before you come, prepare yourself. Be well, well prepared, because I know where to catch you. From that day, it didn't bother me anymore. You know, so we need to be ready to contend for our faith, to fight for our faith. In 1 Peter 3, Peter says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you." Amen.
Amen.
This verse doesn't talk only to the pastor or to the deacon or to the evangelist. It speaks to every believer.
Amen.
Be ready always to give an answer.
Amen.
To every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you. You believe that you're going to be saved. You believe that you are going to heaven. Someone one day will challenge you on that. Be ready to give an answer. Be ready to defend your position. Be ready to earnestly contend for your faith.
Amen.
And the word "give an answer" that is used there, or in other verses, in other traditions, "give an answer" is rendered by "make a defense." In Greek, it's the word "apologia." That's why people that stand for, you know, there's a study area that's called apologetics. It's people that are ready to defend something. Don't take it like the word apology, to apologize. No. Apologetics here is someone who is ready to defend his position. It's the word apologia. And Peter was asking us to be ready to apologize, you know, to defend your position, to give an answer. And maybe next time we'll see it, that people were ready to do everything. The people that gave us, that brought us this faith, they were ready to give an answer. Jesus himself was a great apologetic. He was ready to defend his position. Not only defensively, but also offensively.
Yes.
He would go and ask them, "What do you believe of this and this and that?" He put them in a corner where they say, "If we say this, people will say that. If we say that, people will believe in him." So they say, "We don't know." Why? An apologetic. Someone was ready to defend his position.
Amen.
He says, the word apologia was used for a defense that a person like Socrates might have of his views and action. Apologia is an activity of a person's mind which attempts to show that what it stands for is true in what it affirms.
Amen.
Amen. So Peter is asking us to be ready to defend our position, to show that what we stand for is true in what it affirms. Amen. We should be able, anytime that someone challenges you, to be ready to defend your faith, to defend the gospel. Amen. That's why maybe next time we'll see some examples in the Bible where the disciples, they were real, real, real apologetics. There were people who were ready to wrestle for them. Even in chains, even when they were in prison, even when they were in need, even in any condition, they were ready. And the language that were used, it varied depending on the circumstances. Paul, when talking to the priesthood, he'll use some certain language. Because God knew that in that age, there were people that will have to talk to, you know, the ecclesiastics. And he called among his disciples someone who was taught in the ecclesiastics terms. Amen. To address the people like Gamaliel and the King Festus or Agrippa or whoever, it would be hard for Peter, who was a fisherman, to go and talk to them. He used Paul. Because he knew that Paul would use the correct language to speak to that type of audience. Amen. We'll see it maybe next time. But just remember, my brother, my sister, be ready. Questions will come. Challenges will come. Sometimes from your own child. One day your child will just decide to go wild. Say, I don't believe these things anymore. It happens. He just decide that yeah, these are your things. Not just because he wants to rebel, but he has some good grounds, some good reasons that has put the scriptures in doubt, that has created a doubt in his mind about the scriptures. You should be able, as a parent, you should be able, as his friend, as a brother or sister, in love, to hold them by the hand.
Yes.
And to show them, listen, science says this and this and that, but the Bible says this and this and that. And be able, even not even using the Bible, because if it comes on the scientific ground, sometimes you should be able to go on that ground.
Amen.
And show them the limitations. Amen. In what they are trying to show. Yeah, science says this, 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 and that. But the same, another scientist says this, 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 and that. You'll be able, just using the ground they've brought you into, to fight the fight there and win them over there. Amen. We'll see it next time. May really God bless you today. Let's pray. Father, we commit now the remainder of the service into your hands. We know that you are here with us. You have spoken to us, O Lord, through these few words that may not have been said correctly, O Lord. But you are the listener into your children. Through the Holy Spirit, you can make these words take their real sense in their lives, O Lord. Help us, Heavenly Father. We know that this is a matter of death and life. This faith, we have abandoned everything, O Lord. We have sacrificed our youth. We have forsaken everything to follow this word, O Lord. And we don't want to see one of us one day being thrown away from this faith because of some misunderstanding, O Lord. That's why we are trying to draw our attention on how precious this salvation we have brought unto us is to us, O Lord, and how we should keep it preciously, O Lord. Bless your children. Help us. Give us more revelation. Give us more assurance of what we believe. Because without assurance, we won't be able to defend it, O Lord. Bless us now, Heavenly Father, as we commit the rest of the service into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, saints.